You are listening to Trial Live, hosted by Robert Forteaux and Casey Randall. Trial Live is a show about goal setting, triathlons, training, sports, and the outdoors. Trial Live is brought to you by Dream Chaser Leadership and Be Alive.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forteaux, and you're listening to Try Alive here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am joined by my co-host, Casey Randall. She is calling in from Anchorage, Alaska. Casey, how's it going?
It's going great. I feel like I say it's growing great every time, but it is. And good morning. And how are you, Robert?
Everything is great over here. Summer is upon us. The midnight sun is shining. The flowers are blooming. Everything is good.
Hey, you know what, though, about that midnight sun shining? It is still light, but, man, we, at least here in the big city of Alaska, here in Anchorage, we have had a lot of clouds lately. Like, last night I was outside of my deck thinking, is it really summer? Because it's been a little cooler. Is it like that at your place, too?
You know, it seems to has been a little cooler. We are beekeepers up here, and typically by this time, the fireweed has bloomed and things are rocking and rolling that way. And I only know this because I see that thing on Facebook where it does the memories from the years past. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Well, I was looking at that, and I guess the last 3 or 4 years, you know, I'm looking through the pictures there, and it shows everything is blooming, but it hasn't yet. So maybe we're a couple of weeks late with summer. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe that means we'll get to extend a few months, right? No, I don't think that'll happen, but we'll take it, right? Whatever we get, and there's so much to do out there. And you know what's funny, Robert? I wanted to mention this because just before I called in to get to talk to you, I was out running around in my yard because I look out the window and there's a dog, and it's not my dog. And I truly think that when God made me, he put a lost dog magnet in me somewhere because they just come to me. I used to keep a little book where I'd write them all down because I just find these lost dogs. But the great thing is it had a number on its collar, and so we could call, and it happened to be someone who was not that far away. But, yeah, so I got to meet Spinner this morning, and now he is reunited with his owner. But you have a lot of dogs. Do you ever have lost dogs wander to you, too?
You know, we have had a couple, and, you know, we've only had one or two ever escape from our kennel, and thankfully all of them have been found safe. And, you know, up here in Alaska, it's amazing how quick a network is developed for stuff like that. And we do have names and numbers on all of our collars. Being sled dogs, it's usually required at the races that you have that. So all of our dogs have embroidered names and numbers. But, yeah, it's amazing how quick people can jump into action and recover lost pets. And I think that's a cool thing, especially in the city where things can develop pretty quickly. And it's nice to see the community come together.
Right. And, you know, I didn't think about it at the time, but it always feels good, obviously, to help people. I mean, you see a dog, you have the time, you can, and especially if they have that identification on. So all you dog owners, make sure your pet has something that people can, you know, identify and call quickly. But I guess that was my good deed for the day, right? So the dog is happily
right
back. And then, you know, you get to make a connection and meet somebody that I didn't know was a neighbor, you know, not that far away.
Right. And just a little PSA with that, make sure it's a correct number. You know, in today's day and age, we change cell phone companies so often and so many people move, and often they don't keep updated information, in particular with those microchips that we put in our dogs these days. Often they'll have, you know, a name and address 4 or 5 years old, and that dog can never be reunited with its owner because it has outdated information on it.
Right. That is so true. I'm glad you brought that up because I know I have a dog that has a microchip and I'm going to double check that info. So see, we're giving out info we didn't even know we were going to do today.
That is right. So we have a pretty important show today. You gave a couple of topics last night when we were talking offline there. It's sort of an anniversary for you, isn't it?
It is. Today actually marks 5 years for me since I had my stem cell transplant. because I had, I know we've talked about it before, but anyone listening who doesn't know, I had cancer. I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it was a really nasty kind of Hodgkin's, and I had to go through a lot of chemotherapy, a stem cell transplant, and a lot of radiation. I had to go out of state. I went down to MD Anderson in Houston, Texas. It's a wonderful cancer center, and they do, I think they lead the nation, if not the world, in stem cell transplants. So it was the place I needed to be, and I had an autologous stem cell transplant, which means they harvested my own stem cells from my blood. They took them out, they filtered them out, they preserved them because I needed quite a bit of chemotherapy, and they wanted to harvest them when they were as healthy as they could get them, and then they gave them back to me. So 5 years ago today, I guess my immune system is 5 years old, and that means I get to celebrate another birthday, because when you have that done, they call it your birthday. So it's always a joyous day at our house, and my kids woke me up with little presents that they had made, and they made pancakes for breakfast, and it's just a day that I think we will always celebrate.
That's so awesome, and congratulations to you and your good health today and your marvelous medical team. I know you just went down pretty recently and got another good bill of health. Is that right?
I did. I went in January or near the end of January, but time goes really fast, and it always, you know, you think, okay, I got that good scan, and then, you know, the time will come around again where I have to go back down. But I used to go every travel from Alaska to Houston, Texas. I would get my scans, get testing, and then come back, and then they moved it to 6 months, and then they moved it to a year. So now I don't have to go back for a year. And that's, like you said, it's really awesome to get that good news and just be really thankful for every day, you know?
Right. Well, for folks that don't know, Casey, let's talk a little bit about stem cells. You often hear that in the news, you know, in kind of in your daily activities, you'll hear that term come up. But I don't think a lot of people know exactly what that is. And can you tell us a little bit about the procedure itself? When people think about transplants, they think about organ transplants where one thing is coming from another person and they're putting it in and, you know, doing all that. But this is a little bit different, is it not?
It is, yeah, and because of course it's not an organ that you're taking out of your body, but you're actually harvesting these stem cells. And a lot of people have heard about bone marrow transplants, and they still do those. And they had, and the bone marrow and the stem cells are very connected. But now they have, the two ways of getting those cells out, and being able to put them back into your own body or someone else's body if you're a donor. So we're going to talk about that. But a stem cell transplant is a procedure that replaces defective or damaged cells in patients who their normal blood cells have been affected by cancer, and they're commonly used to treat leukemia, lymphoma, cancers. They are finding they can treat other cancers with them now too. And it's just, you know, if it affects the blood and lymphatic system. So you hear about blood cancers, right? But, stem cell research is ongoing, and they're learning more and more every day. And, I mean, I have a brother-in-law who is a veterinarian, and, you know, he's even using them in pets, you know, but they harvest them a little different. They get them out of the fat of the pets, and then, I mean, they're curing and helping pets live longer. So it's a really neat thing the more we learn. But for humans, they take it out of your blood. And there's two kinds of stem cell transplants. There's autologous, which is harvested from yourself. My cancer wasn't into my bones yet, so that was a great thing. And so they could take my own cells out, and they do that with this awesome machine that you get hooked up to. It takes your blood out. It filters the stem cells, keeps those in a spot, preserves them, and then puts, you know, runs your blood back into your body. That can take anywhere from 1 to 7 days to get done. I had a little pep talk with myself. I was really positive, and I thought, I'm just going to get this done, and come on, you know, stem cells, be good. And I actually got double what I needed in the first day. So it was nice to not have to continue to go through it. It isn't painful, but you sit there and you do feel very cold as they're taking all your blood out. But the second kind is called an allogeneic stem cell transplant, And that comes from a donor. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that today, but that's where other people come in, where you can sign up to be a donor. And you have to, you can do it two ways. We have to fill out the registry, you know, you fill out your info, and I'll give all that info. I'll list it on the Be Alive Facebook page as well. But you can take a little swab of like saliva from your cheek. They send you a kit and everything, and you send that in, and they can see if you might be a good match for somebody. And then there's another way of taking a blood draw where they can do that. But in the allogenic stem cell transplant, people donate, they're harvested from one person who's a match for another, and then they're given to the person who needs it. Does that make sense?
Wow. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, there's a lot of unknowns about especially blood collection, you know, like at the Red Cross or something like that. A lot of people think that, you know, well, I gave blood this time last year, everything is good. But that stuff doesn't last very long. It has a relatively short shelf life. Is it the same with the stem cells, or are they kept a certain way?
You know, it's amazing. They can keep them for a long time. I'm not sure how long, but I know it's many years. I know that, this, like I said, I got double what I needed for them to, you know, when I had my stem cell transplant 5 years ago today, they gave me a certain amount. They determined how many, you know, they needed to give me. And then the rest of them are still kept preserved at MD Anderson in case I ever needed them again, or they can't really give mine to anyone else because of my health history, but they do have them. And I think they can also use, I probably signed something that they could use them for research to try to, you know, come up with new things to help other people. And they could really scrutinize my individual case. But yeah, with blood, when you donate blood, I had many blood transfusions. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who donates blood, because it saves lives. It saved my life. And, when you get that, I was amazed to know that that blood was just, you know, donated within a few days when I received those, those transfusions.
Right. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about how to become a donor. You know, a lot of people, going back to what I just mentioned about organs, a lot of people will sign up on their, you know, you can do it right on your driver's license app. When you go into the DMV, they can ask you if you want to be an organ donor. And this is something that I care a lot about, because I've worked in the medical field in the past, and I've seen some major trauma and understand sort of the process with that. But, you know, what's interesting with becoming a donor is you may say what your wishes are going to be when you pass, but it's often left up to a family member what happens after you pass, and sometimes that's not necessarily your full intention. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, no, that's very true, and this is something that you don't have to pass to do. I mean, you're very much alive, and you are making that decision now to sign up to be a donor. Now, you may sign up and never, most people never are, you know, donors. But like my husband, when I was going through everything, he right away went and found out through, of course, being at MD Anderson, they're always giving info on how you can sign up to see if you're a match. And so he got the little kit and he swabbed his cheek and you just send it in. It's real easy. So he's on a registry, and who knows, someday he may get a phone call and they may say, hey, you match another person. And that could be anyone from, you know, an infant to all the way up. There isn't really an age limit to what they're learning they can do and with these transplants. So he would have to still go through a lot of process after that, you know, testing and determining if you would be able to donate your stem cells. And at any time you could say no, or, you know, when you're not locked into that just because you got on the registry.
Right. Well, I guess my next question in regards to that is, how is that affected by us living in Alaska? And maybe not just with stem cells, but with other types of organ or tissue donation. Does that come into play with us either needing or giving those transplants, being sort of out of the way of everybody else?
Well, you know, one big thing is obviously when you go through stuff like this. You meet other people, you become part of a club, and you hear stories from lots of people. And I remember meeting a number of years ago a girl up here who, she's actually had two stem cell transplants, but she had Tlingit blood, and she could not find a match. I mean, it was very, very hard, and then ended up, someone got on the registry and they were able to find that match, but they were like, this is one in a million. You know, they just didn't have much hope that they were going to find a match for her, and they did. And so she was able to get those stem cells that she needed to live. And she still gets to be a mom and a wife and, you know, be there every day to raise her kids. But especially, you know, in the more minority or where you just can't find those matches, the more and more info we can get out there and that people say, hey, I want to sign up and be on the registry, you can save people's lives. So, yeah, if you're just thinking, say, well, I never thought about doing that, but it's really easy. It's not painful. Do the cheek swab, and you never know. A lot of times family members, like first family members, are the best matches. But that isn't always the case. And there could be somebody on the other side of the world that is your almost perfect match.
And just for clarification, you had talked about the young lady that was Tlingit, and that is a Native American tribe, they are mostly down in the southeast Alaska area of Alaska. Is that right?
Yep. Yep.
Excellent.
And, you know,
well,
to have,
thanks for the info. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. No, I was just going to say that, you know, for her, she knew this, and I don't even know if she ever knew. I mean, sometimes you're going to know who the donors are, but she was just obviously ecstatic that she could find a match and be living a healthy life today.
Excellent. Well, again, congratulations on your anniversary, and we always wish you the best of health, and hopefully when you go back down next time, they'll even put it out even further. Can they do like a 2-year wait or a 3-year wait or anything like that?
I think they do. I know that I was part of a lot of clinical trials. I was very fortunate to be able to go there and get some. Some of the treatment I got was the first. I was the first person, and they've done many people after that, which is kind of fun to think of being a pioneer and you know, having things go well. But, yeah, I look forward to the day, hopefully, when they say you don't ever have to come back. But I'm thankful for my
Excellent.
Doctors down there. And, hey, I will put this on the Be Alive page, but bonemarrow.org is one of the places that people can go if you're listening to this and just want to get a jump on it. It's bonemarrow.org. There's another one called bethematch.org, and there's one dkms.org. But I'll put all those on the Facebook page.
Excellent. Good work in the public service department. We appreciate it for sure, Casey. So let's talk a little bit about your next topic. You're just rocking and rolling with good show topics today. What else is on your mind?
Well, it's funny. I was feeling a little tired today, and then I started thinking, what do we want to talk about? And, you know, what is the secret of life? Okay, can we talk about the secret of life for the next 15 minutes and make everybody happier? What do you think?
We'll give it a shot. We have 11 minutes, 36 seconds. So if we can solve that question in that amount of time, I think we're up for the Nobel Prize.
Okay, well, and jump in anytime, Robert. You know, I looked up 5 simple secrets of life, and I got to give credit to Psychology Today, Gregory Jantz, he's a PhD, and he wrote these 5 simple secrets to life. So let's just go through them and then throw in what you think. So, number 1 was create small pleasures. So just you wake up each day and just strip it down to some very small pleasures. Do you have a small pleasure that you indulge in every day?
Aside from coffee, it would probably be the dogs, just hanging out with them and just having that smile from them. And then, of course, that makes me happy as well.
Well, and I agree. You know, I know not everyone's a coffee drinker, but coffee came to my mind. And actually this morning, my husband and kids brought me a cup right in bed. They set it right down by the bedside table. And I thought, this is perfect because, you know, even Faith Hill has a song called The Secret of Life, right? And she talks about a good cup of coffee. So I think just focusing on being able to enjoy those things and lower expectations, not to shoot, you know, shoot high, have great goals. But when we put things too high, we fall, right? And so if we focus more and, you know, we think back to a child, the simple pleasures of being a child. And if we can all harness that a little bit more, I think that we would all have some more smiles on our face.
I agree.
Okay, are you ready for the second one?
And the next one? Yes,
the next one is number two, and this really fits with our Try Alive and Be Alive themes here. Make exercise fun. So
yes, that's a little more easy said than done sometimes. It really depends on the activity. But I know we've talked about it here on this show, but I can only imagine how training for a marathon and those long 20-mile runs, I just don't know if that's going to be that much fun.
Well, and you know, you get the runner's high, right? And people going out there and those are big goals, right? Those are big things that you set your mind to, and you have to go in with the right attitude that say, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do it with, you know, resistance. I'm not going to do it with being grumpy. I'm going to say, I'm going to, you know, have a good attitude. So there's lots of things you can do to make training for a marathon more fun. And that can be a whole separate show, right? But making exercise more fun. One thing that I just thought of with that is the other night I looked at my Fitbit. I know we've talked about this before. A friend challenged me to get as many steps as she did. And I thought, oh, I'm low on steps. And you know what? I went out in my yard and I looked crazy, but I had a badminton racket and a birdie and I would hit it across the yard. I would go run and pick it up. I would hit it as far as I could. I would run and pick it up. And you know what? I was laughing and having fun and getting great exercise, and I was sweaty by the end of it. So there's just one example of, again, going back to a child, you know? So make exercise fun. All right. Number three is have three strong, healthy relationships with people. Sometimes we can overwhelm our life with many acquaintances, lots of people we call friends, and that's great. But narrowing it down to, you know, three specific strong, healthy relationships. And do you want to know what this guy says those are?
Sure.
They are, have a friend, a person in your life who is older and wiser than you, because there's someone you can learn from. Number two is have someone your own age. So you have a peer that you can relate to and, you know, just kind of get it, right? They're from the same time. And number three is have someone who's younger than you, because there's someone you can mentor and pass your wisdom on to. So I guess, you know, makes you think about your own life and the people you have. And do you have three people that fit that in your life?
Well, I think I do. But, you know, it's interesting in today's world with Facebook and, you know, everybody has virtual friends. It's interesting to see if you have real friends these days versus somebody you know just on the internet.
Right, and that's very true, because the internet is great and Facebook is great, Instagram, I mean, all these people, you can get lots of likes. But if you're just having that and you're not having these three that I just talked about, you know, think on that. Take a look at who surrounds you, and basically we are responsible for our own happiness. I should have said that at the beginning, but if we're looking to others to make us happy, we're never going to really reach that. So we have to look inside ourselves to surround ourselves with what makes us happy, and then we exude happiness and people want to be around you, right?
Right, of course. All right, so number four.
Okay, so number four is nourish your body. Put good things in your body. And I can tell you that my dad is visiting right now, and I love him over the moon. I mean, it is so incredibly wonderful to have my dad here. My dad, and he knows it, he does not eat the best food. And so he brings these wonderful treats into our house, and it's terrible because we just eat them. But then after a while, you start to realize, hey, my body doesn't feel so good because I'm putting more sugar in my body. I'm putting more, you know, bad fats. And so I think, you know, that's okay for a short period of time, but nourishing your body with good foods is going to make you feel better.
Well, you know, I guess there's an argument to that, and I think your dad would agree with me. You only live once. And if he's enjoying himself, and I have no idea what he eats, but let's say he's eating potato chips and cupcakes, If he is 50 or 60 years old and he is the happiest man in the world, let the man eat potato chips and cupcakes.
You know what? I agree with you about that with my dad, too. He is happy. He loves his food. But you know what? He did give up pop. Well, he came here, and he has stuck to it. He has not had one sip of pop, and it's been like 3 weeks. So I'm very proud of him for doing that.
Excellent, for sure. You know, I'm like your dad. I don't have the best eating habits. I often eat on the run, and it's been a blessing and a curse, I guess. But I agree with you. Fuel yourself or nourish yourself with good things, and I think that's an important lesson to live by in order to be happy, because it does not feel good, or it is very unhappy to be sluggish all the time.
It is, and sometimes we don't even realize it, but we think, oh, why am I feeling this way? And, you know, it isn't all one thing, right? But if you realize, hey, I got off track, and I'm eating a lot more of this, and food can do a lot to our bodies. So, you know, just be more conscious, looking around and what fills you up, and also drinking lots of water. We know water is great for us, and we often don't get enough. So go ahead and fill up that water and eat your fruits and veggies, and yeah, maybe that'll make you happier.
Excellent.
But number five.
All right, number five.
Number five. Now, it's great because we've talked about all this stuff before, Robert, so it's fun to reaffirm that we're passing out good messages, right? But number five is gratitude. Gratitude, living with an attitude of gratitude. We've talked about gratitude journals. We've talked about taking a moment each day to, you know, to spread that within your family, say things that you're grateful for, maybe just taking some time to meditate yourself, or just being just more mindful, you know, walking through your day thinking, man, I'm thankful, I'm grateful for this. And doing that and making a conscious effort to do it will make a difference in your life. It will make you feel happier.
You know, I when you said that, I think that that's sort of an underlying theme of our show. Just about every show that we do, we've been on the air for almost 7 months now. This is our 22nd episode, and I think every episode, somehow or another, we've tied in the gratitude theme to everything we've talked about.
I agree. We have, and it, you know, you and I just talking from these shows, I feel like it has bettered my life because, you know, we talk about the goals, we talk about having good attitudes, we talk about how to get to our goals, and I don't know, it's, I mean, you and I have both made changes in our life for the better, and I'm thankful for that.
I am too, and you know, for folks that are listening, we don't do a lot of prep for our shows. You know, a lot of podcasts out there will do a lot of research and a lot of thinking about what they're going to talk about. Typically, Casey and I, unless we are scheduling a guest, typically we talk maybe once, maybe twice between shows about things that we're thinking about, that we may talk about on our shows. But almost always, it's just sort of about things that come up in not only in our lives, but in our community, or things that are happening around us. And we just like to reflect on those. And I think that's sort of becoming a secondary theme of our show. It's a lot about reflection. And I think that's a key component of being happy as well. You can't always either look towards the future or dwell in the past. We sort of have to have a very good balance of both, don't you think?
Exactly. And, you know, it's just being in the present. We hear that a lot. And what does that mean? But basically, it means quit worrying, which is so hard. I'm a worrier. I know lots of people worry. It's human nature. But being in the present, you know, enjoying that moment. And, you know, that is what we do on this show. We get on here and I think, oh, what are we going to talk about? And then we just kind of talk from our hearts. And it sounds like people enjoy listening. And I'm glad we can bring everybody some great information.
I agree as well. So we're almost out of time, Casey. Real quick, how do people find us on Facebook and other social media? Are you on Instagram or anything like that as well?
Man, I'm not, but I should be. People keep telling me I need to learn how to do that. But as far as Facebook, if you get on and you just type in Go Be Alive, our Facebook page will come up. And I post the episodes there. I know that you post them on your page. And people can also listen to us on iTunes, right?
Yes, they can. Search for Dog Works Radio. I know that's a little odd, but our parent show, I guess you will, is Dog Works Radio. So just search in Apple Podcasts for Dog Works Radio, and we will pop up there. And real quick, Casey, before we go on next episode, our next episode, I want to talk about a triathlon I'm heading for in 2 weeks from this weekend. It's called Epi's Great Race down in the Sacramento area. It's different than a lot of triathlons when, you know, the sort of format of swim, bike, run. This one's a little bit different and it has a great cause, and I would like to talk about that before we go. How's that?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Next week's show, we're going to talk about Epi's Great Race. Casey, anything else before we go?
Man, no, just everybody get out there, and now you know the secret of life, right? So these five things to do, and I hope everybody just has a great week ahead.
Yes, for sure. All right, on behalf of my co-host, Casey Randall, get out there and be alive. This is Robert Forto. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.